heaven. That's why I'm happy today. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be in the presence of the Lord? Amen. The presence of the Lord is here. And there's no doubt about it. God is going to do something. And He already has. Praise God. It's good to be here today. You may be seated. It's certainly an honor to be here. It's been a long time since I've had the honor to come and be in service with you. And I'm honored to be here with you all. Pastor Johnson, I give honor to you. Thank you for allowing me to be here in spite of my coordinator's failures. Hallelujah. I was at a church years ago, and I showed up, and the pastor was in the prayer room, and I went in, and he turned around and saw me. He said, "You're not supposed to be here." I said, "Thanks for the welcome." And and my coordinator had messed up my schedule. And the thing is, they do it for free, so you can't fire them. And you just kind of like stuck with it. But it worked out well. But I tell you, I like what I feel in this place today. Praise God. And I give honor to your pastor, the great work of God that's here, and the saints of God, visitors that's here. If there's a visitor here, then you're in the right place. You found the honey hole right here. Praise God. This is where your life can be changed forever for the good. Hallelujah. And I just want to bring good reports and blessings from the country of Belize. It's not quite like Brother Johnson said, but people are people everywhere you go. So a pound of flesh is a pound of flesh. And folks sometimes just show up just because that's what they kind of have to do. And we have to, that's why we have prayer meetings for and get built up to have the church. But about eight years ago, we prayed through a Mennonite man and German-speaking Mennonites. We have quite a few there. And for 8 years, we had prayed for a breakthrough. We thought that was it. It didn't happen. And we prayed and prayed. First of the year, he called me. He said, "I think it's happening." And to make the long story short, now we got three families of Mennonites, or apostolic ex-Mennonites, filled with the Holy Ghost, worshiping the Lord and baptizing the only saving name. Praise God. And so we give God the glory. At this point, we just poured a slab for a new building. We're putting up walls on another building, and we're about to put the roof on another building. So God has given us great blessings. And I want to get into the word of the Lord today, Proverbs 13 and 22. Again, thank you for letting me come and be with you, Pastor. Proverbs 13 and 22. And when you're there, say amen. Now, I'm a little nervous because y'all had Brother Raul Alvear here in to describe me. I was at a church here a while back, and everybody started running the aisles, and I looked at the pastor and said, "I've reached the place, the age and the weight, that I can either run or preach. You'll have to tell me what you want me to do. But if I run, I won't be able to preach." And I've got grandbabies, and I wish I had a while to talk about grandbabies, but Brother Raul Alvear can carry you to the heights and hang with you. I can try to nudge you up a little bit. But anyway, Proverbs 13 and 22 says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. 1 Chronicles 29 and 3. 1 Chronicles 29 and 3. Praise God. Praise God. Not that I've ever seen a movie, but I've been places I've heard about that song. However, However, because I have set my affections to the house of my God. Everybody say the house of my God. I have of my own proper goods of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all. Everybody say over and above all. And I'm not going to get y'all to do the whole sermon with me. That's going to be the last time, I think. Praise God, and I'll go ahead and preach the rest of it. All that I have prepared for the holy house. Everybody say, God bless the word. Would you put your Bibles down, clap your hands to the Lord, give Him glory. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. A good man will leave an inheritance not only to his children, but to his children's children. I am a third generation apostolic. Now, I've got grandchildren, so we're talking about third, fourth, fifth generation that are apostolic, and they love church. They love going to church, and if I would allow my grandbabies, they would take over the church. But anyway, and they do have a little leeway there. But I would say that sadly, my grandmother received the Holy Ghost and it was in a Brush Harbor meeting, and now I am the only one left out of all of her family that's still maintaining this apostolic truth like she believed. My dad and uncles were all pastors, and my aunt was a leader in her church in a mighty way. All of their kids are gone. My dad believed it till the day he died. The rest of them all changed. But a good man is not just about you. Quit being selfish. It's about your children's children. I was in throes. I've been preaching this message. It's really a Bible study from Belize, but I've been teaching it. I've been thinking on what I was going to do here. I was up this morning praying, eating cinnamon rolls, and I like confirmation. I like to have confirmation, and I remember preaching at a church in Louisiana years ago, and I had this sermon called The Jailhouse Rock, you know, Paul and Silas, it's original. And I'm thinking I want confirmation. And I was trying to hear something that would confirm I'm on the right vein. And the pastor, right before I got up, stood up and began to talk about how when he was a young man, God blessed him with a pair of blue suede shoes. You young folks won't get this, but I'm telling you, I said, that's good enough for me, Lord. And today is just it was a lot more than that. Pastor began to talk about these things. 50 years from now, it's not going to matter. God tarries. It's not going to matter how much money you was able to save. It's not going to matter how many square feet your house was, how fancy the car was that you drove. None of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is if your children's children still walking in truth and still loving God. We sing a song that says, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing you'll ever do. I'm just going to tell you something. If you're going to make it living for God, the church is going to be everything to you. You're going to set your affections on the house of God. Everything you do is going to be surrounded by the house of God. Where I go, what I do, you go on vacation, but something inside of you says, I can't wait to get home. We've got church tonight. Folks on the job, they're going to know that you church folk because you kind of get antsy on church night. Man, what time is it? I got church here in a little bit. Praise God. Your affections is on the house of God. Praise God. You may be seated. I had a man a while back pray through to the Holy Ghost and our headquarters church, but he was going to another church and another one of our churches and he was a wild man and man, he was so full and so excited about the Holy Ghost. He come out of a drug scene. Praise God. If you turn my monitors down, I'll borrow a gun in here and I'll, I'll go hunting or something. But anyway, praise God, keep them hot. Hallelujah. But this guy's just excited all the time. And we keep a little table back here with water and a pitcher and all that stuff. And one of our services, he runs up on the platform, grabs a glass of water, drinks it down, jumps off the platform. I looked at my son-in-law, who is also my interpreter. I said, did he just run up here and drink that water? It was almost like the spirit of Speedy Gonzalez was on him. He's a Spanish guy. And he said, yes, sir. And he drank my water. And just wow, just all the time. And y'all may do it here, but we have limitations on who lays hands on who and how and all that stuff. It's just not given to everybody to run around and lay hands on folk. That's us. But anyway, he got to where he was just laying hands on everybody, running all over the building praying. I told his pastor, I said, you got to take care of that, or I will. He said, okay. But that night that I decided to draw a line, church is going, everything's excited. There's a little girl, about 10, 11 years old. She's over here with her hands up. She's weeping. And I saw him. He kind of locks in. And I saw him when he locked in on him. He takes off running. I'm thinking, it's no stop. He runs over and he lays hands on this girl. And she falls out speaking in tongues. I said, well, that problems. And just a few minutes later, there's a sinner lady in the back. Her hands up. She's weeping. And he goes, I'm like, oh no, here goes again. He runs to the back. He's throwing chairs out of his way. He lays hands on her. And she falls out talking in tongues. I looked at his pastor. I said, you know what? Just leave him alone for a while. He's better than every preacher we got up here. But the truth is, just give him a little time. And sadly, Pastor talked about it, that affection kind of goes down. Sadly, it just kind of runs out if we don't keep that renewed. We got to stay excited about this thing. This is the house of God. This is exciting. Can't wait to get to church. I've heard it said by many preachers, if I had everybody come through this building, we had have to build a new building. I found out after preaching for over 30 years that you continually are building a church. I don't care. It's kind of like a city bus. You're getting some folks on and you're getting some folks off, and you just keep driving hoping you finally fill the bus up. That's just the way church is. And then when you get into that, my dad retired after almost 40 years of pastoring. I said, Dad, what do you think? He said, well, I started raising miniature pinchers. I said, little dogs. And he said, I buy and sell them. He had about 20 of them. I said, well, what do you think? You're not pastoring anymore. He said, well, I'll tell you this. He said, if those dogs keep barking and they won't be quiet, he said, I get my water hose. I go out there and spray them down until they shut up. He said, I never could do that when I was pastor. He said, if one of them bites me, I can just give it a side kick, knock it out of the way, and keep going. He said, I never could do that when I was pastor. So what you've got is you deal with people. And I'm going somewhere. Just hang with me. You're dealing with people. But see, thank God for people, because I remember years ago I was invited to preach at a church, and when I got there, there was one elderly man, and the whole church had been, the man took paper plates and put smiley faces on them and taped them on the back of all the seats. And one old man and a lot of paper plates with smiley faces on them. Well, I said, well, I'm here to preach. I'm going to preach to the old man. And I'm preaching, and he's just looking at me. And right in the middle of my sermon, he gets up and he goes to the side wall and he turns on the ceiling fans. And those plates begin to move. I said, we're fixing to have church around here. So I say all that. Thank God for people. Thank God for saints. Thank God for those that loves the church. That says, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm dealing with, I'm glad I'm in the church.
I thank God for the saints of God that has a mind to work and a mind to serve God. And I'm going to church no matter what I'm going through. I may be offended. I may be hurt. I may be going through something. Somebody didn't look at me right. But I'm going to the house of God because it ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about God. It's about my children. It's about my family. And it's about my children's children. I'm going to keep going to the house of God. I've got my affections on the house of the Lord. Shout yeah, somebody.
You may be seated. You're going to hurt me. A few years back, I had this man drive up my yard. He was a Jesus-named preacher with the organization there in Belize. He said, I'm an intern preacher here. Our missionary is gone. And he said, I heard a lot about you. His nephew and I are very close friends. He said, I want to come meet you. He said, our churches, we don't have nothing. We hear big reports about churches. We don't have nothing here. And he looked around our place. He said, this is amazing what God has done. It was about 8 years into it. He said, this is amazing. He looked around at our place and school and everything. And he said, well, we got to talk. I said, why don't you come back and preach for me tonight? And he said, well, I'd be honored to. So that night, he comes. And our building is packed out. Now listen, on midweek service, you never pack out a building. I may do something amazing here. But I found out when you have a visiting preacher announced or unannounced, 64% of the people don't come. I made that number up, but I bet you it's close to right. But that night, it was just strange. Man, there was no announcement, but we had set out chairs. The house was full of people. And when we had song service, we had dancing and worship and rolling and we made up stuff to do. We had wild church. When he preached, them folks liked to kill him. He was an elderly man, and they liked to kill him. They preached him so hard. And altar call, people got the Holy Ghost. The altars was packed out. We went for a long time. If there was such a thing as a perfect service, we had a perfect service. When it's all over with, we have a side door like this. And I'm standing there talking to him. He's got his back to that door. I'm standing there talking to him. And he said, I'm going to tell you, Bishop Gorner, I've been all over the world. And this is the most amazing work I've ever seen. What God has done in the short time you've been here is so powerful. Holy Ghost packed. People love this thing. He said, this is amazing. And I said, well, brother, you know, I have to give God all the glory. As I rub the calluses on my hands. And while he's telling me about this perfect church we're so happy about, I just want to thrill y'all. We got people where I'm at. This woman runs in behind him, and she goes, ooh. I'm not real good with sign language, so in sign language I went, that means, huh? She says, what that means in Belize is there's a fist fight out there. So I said, Elder, could you excuse me a moment? And I walk humbly out the side door. I take off running for all the people's at. There's two teenagers on the ground, and I'm talking about they are knocking each other up. I get them. I'm jerking them apart. I'm chewing them out. What's wrong with you? You know, we just had service like this. Y'all out here fighting it. And I look, and I see everybody looking over my shoulder. And I look, and there's the elder that loves this perfect church. The elder, you about ready to go eat? I get those two boys together the next day. I said, what in the world was you fighting about? One of them said, I was worshiping God, and I looked over my shoulder, and he was making fun of the way I worship. So when I caught him outside, I beat him up. Sounds good to me. Down in Belize, if you ever come visit, don't laugh at the way we worship. We will drag you out.
outside and you'll never laugh at our worship again. But really, there's no perfect church because personalities and people and things, and if you let that get you, it's going to separate you. It's going to get you sideways with the pastor. It's going to get you sideways with the Sunday school teacher. It's going to get you sideways. You've got to get your affections on the house of God so much that nothing is going to pull you away. I know that we got a little problem right now, and we got a little sideways on something, but I'm going to pray through it, pray over it, and I'm going back to the house of God because it's a safe place. And if I get stupid right now, and my kids are teenagers, I'm going to lose out with God. My children are going to lose out with God, and it's all going to be lost. You may be saying, I'm trying to hurry. That's what I was hoping to hear. Praise God. In the foyer, you walk out in the foyer, and two little three-year-old girls are playing with a Barbie doll, and they start tugging at it, and a mama walks out, and, "What are you doing? That's my baby's Barbie doll. I'm tired of it every time we come to church. You're fighting with my little girl. It's her baby doll, and you." And the other mama comes out, and, "What are you doing? Fussing at my daughter." And the two mamas starts arguing, and here you are in church with two big mama, or adult mamas arguing over two babies playing with a Barbie doll. And then the men comes out, and the husbands they're walking around like roosters. And I'm telling you now, you ain't going to. And while they're all arguing, the two little girls are back in the corner with the baby doll playing again. And you done made a big mess out of something you should have left alone. And then 10 years later, the kids are best of friends, and you still hating Sister Sally because of a baby doll. Do you understand? Some things you got to let go. Some things you got to hang on to. Some things you got to forget. This is just a Sunday school Bible lesson, but if you're going to make it for God, you've got to just let it go. Hey, it ain't worth it. I'm not going to fight over this. I'm not going to fuss with you. Dear Lord, I want my family saved. I want my children saved. I'm going to work my way around my problem. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be so Christian. I'm going to just say, "Brother, I got sideways with you. I've been wanting to whoop you, but I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? You don't even know it, but you got me mad. But I'm over it now. I'm going to be saved. I don't want to teach my children to hate each other. I want them to think that the church is the rock, is a tower, is a wonderful place. We got the greatest preacher. We got the greatest singers. Even if he plays movie songs, I love the musicians. Everything about my church is wonderful. Thank God for the church. Got my affections on the house of God." May be seated. We got to build a church. We can't do it mad at each other. I got something called the good saint, the bad saint, the ain't saint test. And I don't know why I do it, because it gives me a bad spirit. But I'll get a candy wrapper, potato chip wrapper, a bag or something. And I'll go put it there close to the back. A little candy piece or something. I'll lay it close to the back door. I'll watch. Folks come in and see that and step over it. They ain't worried about the church. I'm like, I saw you when you seen that. Is that right? When you saw that garbage, you stepped over it. What's wrong with you? This is your church. And you're going to step over the garbage? No, your affection is not here.
You attend church, but is this Madeline? Is this okay? You attend church, but you, how dare you just to step over your church? Just walk in here and you see things needs to be done, and it's got to be a big to do to get you to do it. Your affection's not here. I remember when I was a boy, I used to have to mow the yard every time for our church. And my dad got up and he said, my son's got a job now. We need some folks to get involved and start mowing the yard. And nobody raised their hand. I know that don't happen here, but it happened for us. And one old Cajun man, about 70-something years old, two hip replacements, he raises his hand. And he said, Brother Jonah, I'll take care of the grass from now on. Y'all don't have to worry about it. My dad busted everybody. Shame on you. That old man willing to do that, and none of you even raise your hand. The next service we got there, he had sprayed all the grass with poison. When I tell you he took care of the grass, he took care of the grass. We decided it'd be better if I just mow it for their own after it finally came back. But the house of God belongs to you. You know, that's when you show up and you find out where the bucket of paint is, and you see the little marks on the baseboard there. Nobody has to say anything. Nobody has to make a pull for it. You don't have to call for a work day. You just start touching up things because this is my church, and my children are going to get married here, and one day we're going to get buried here, and I've been noticing a little snag in the carpet or a little spot. I'm out of my own pocket. I'm just going to go down, get some spot remover, and I'm going to go around and snip some of these threads. And my church, my affections are here. Everything I can do to change a bulb, to clean the lens, this is belongs to me, and I'm gonna put my heart here. Because it ain't just me, but my son's gonna come here. My son's gonna come up in this church, and one day he's gonna have children, and his children. Hey, I'm telling you something. You gotta understand it's more than you. You've got generations to come, and you better teach them about the affections on the house of God. You may be seated. I taught this Bible lesson at my pastor's church. I've been on the mission field 14 years. I looked up at his ceiling and I said, Elder, who painted the ceiling last? He said, you did. It still looks really good. I'm a painter. He said, who finished those beams? He said, well, he was the last one to paint them too. It really still looked good. I looked at the pews. Have these been finished? Have I done them last? He said, no, sir. You the last one to do them. Me and my son, just holding you. Glad you're not married yet. Right? He's about a little bit older than you. We'd have to use a dolly for his side. Up, way up to the night. You look at the big old oak pews. Anybody ever hear of oak pews? It's something like that. We carried over the fellowship hall all the night. We sent it down. My boy finished a pew from the time he was little. We finished all those pews, brought them back to the church. And so here I am 15 years later, standing here, and rubbed that pew. I said, I don't mean to be a smart aleck or nothing like that. I'm going to tell everybody here, whether you like it or not, this is my church. I've done the ceiling. I've done the beam. The pews you're sitting on, I've finished it. This is my house of God. I live a couple thousand miles away, but I got a knowledge that back there, I've got me a house of God because I put my hands on it. There's something about ownership, you put your hands to it. Amen. We are a third world country, and we understand that we have to raise funds because it's very expensive to build. But I tell you, I promise you this, ladies are tying wire for rebar until they get bloody
the handprints there. We got people working and mixing things because I understand folks wants to come down and help. We do have crews come in, but I also make the saints, you've got to get in there. You've got to sand it down. You've got to touch it up. You've got to clean it. You've got to wipe it. Not because it's a work day call. It's because you love the church. I'll tell you what we're going. The kids are all saying, we're going to church. We're just going to work around there. What are we going to do? I don't know. But we're going to look around. We'll find something to do because our affections are on the house of God. And we love the church. It will never belong to you if you don't pick up some garbage, wipe some toilets, run the vacuum cleaner. Praise God. You've got to make it belong to you by putting your hands on it. And your children's hand. You've got to put some handprints on it. There, you need your fingerprints on the house of God.
Amen. I took my wife, two kids, drove to Belize. I'm about to close. But I went to Belize. I started a woman's living room. She let me go there. And she didn't know anything about Pentecost. She said, I could have church there. But there also, they cooked in the same little room. So she'd be making beans and rice while I'm trying to preach. She's cooking, stirring and clanging pots. And she said, Brother Joyner, you want some beans and rice? I'm like, well, right now I'm preaching. I'll get with you in just a little while. And then she would, we have rainy seasons there, and in her house she has clotheslines, and I'm preaching. We go get a few people and manage to gather them up, and while I'm preaching, she starts hanging up clothes in my church, and I'm talking about all of her clothes. She hung up. And I'm looking under stuff, trying to preach to people. But we get somebody prayed through. We'd win somebody. I just kept preaching. This is the church. And then I had this woman, the only woman, the only person I could find, she could interpret for me. And so I'm up preaching. I'm saying, listen, you've got to be born again. And everything I say, she said, oh, I can't tell them that. That's harsh. I'm like, no, that's what we do. This is how we preach. And no, I tell them, you know, you've got to repent of your sins or you're going to hell. Oh, that's harsh. I'm like, and so I would be up here fighting with my interpreter. I'm like, say it. She said, I won't say it. And I said, you've got to say it. No, I'm not. And we're arguing back and forth. And finally, I said, I need to talk to you. And I said, listen, you got to say what I say or I won't use you at all. She said, you could not make it here without me. And that was a blessing. Because I said, don't ever touch one of my microphones again. And so the owner of the house had a center boy about 16 years old. I said, I want you to interpret. He could speak English and Spanish. I said, I want you to interpret for me. And so he's over here, just a center boy. That's all I had. Hands in his pocket. And I'd say, praise the Lord. And he was just as dead as could be. And I preach. And he's over there. I had Brother Hush come down. Brother Hush is preaching for me. And that's all I had. I'm just trying to build a church. And he's got to preach. And he said, I tell you, fornicators will burn in hell. And my interpreter said, he said, say it again. And he said, say it loud. If you're a fornicator, you're going to hell. And my interpreter goes, he lays the mic down and goes and kneels at the altar. Brother Hoos looks at me and said, you got problems? I said, no, I don't. He does. But I kept having church. And in spite of all the junk, we'd get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody get mad because I spoke too harsh and leave, but a little family come in. And I just kept on preaching. Somebody else would come in. And I finally got this little building up. And when I got the little building up and was having church in it, and we didn't have no windows, open holes in the wall, and a drunk man come in. And he'd come to a little side deal right there and opening, and I hadn't got my windows in yet, and he starts cussing me. And I'm like, hey man, you got to stop that. And he cussed me again, and they were bad cuss words. if there's such thing as good ones. He had bad ones. And I kept trying to preach. He kept cussing me. And I said, if you cuss one more time, I'm putting you out of this building. And he said, you ain't. And he done it again. And I started towards him right when I got to him. He said, if you touch me, I'll throw myself out the window. Okay. And I touched him. Boom. And he threw himself out the window. I said, man, that's good. I wish all this was so easy. But I kept having church, and today there's apostolic churches there that in spite of everything, we got some folks that loves the church. We got folks that loves the house of God. And we got people that wants to be in the house of God. And folks that are come and pray. But you've got to set your affections on the house of God. I know this ain't hour running stuff, but I'm just telling you something. When you get your heart into this, your children will never say, are we going to church tonight? It will blow their mind to find out you're not going to church. What's wrong? Because you have taught them, no matter what we're going through, no matter how bad it is, if we have to borrow gas money, we're going to church. Because it's there we get renewed and saved. Come to the music. You can remain standing. I have a woman. She's the third person to get the Holy Ghost in Belize. She is the most faithful woman we have. I can depend on her every time. Faithful, faithful, faithful. She's going to come to church 25 minutes late every service. Faithful. I've talked to her. I've begged her. I've preached to her. I've rebuked her. I've tried everything. 25 minutes in the prayer service after church is going. See, I don't know what y'all believe here, but we believe that prayer service is when church starts. I know that's weird, but that's what we believe. Youth functions, her kids never got involved. She didn't let them go because the youth leader never was treating her kid right. Yeah, that's a story. There's someone like that almost everywhere. And so I try to encourage her, you need your kids in all the functions. When we go to do outdoor services, whatever we're doing, your kids ought to be there. Well, I just don't know. So her girl, one of my little pets, she was a sweetheart. She won the scripture quoting memory verses every time she gets older. 16, I saw her begin to change. I got stack of little notes from her. I love my pastor. Thank God for the missionary. All those little sweet notes as she come up. I keep all of them from kids. And then she meets a sinner boy. I will tell you this. You don't have your kids involved in the church, they're going to meet somebody. You know, that's the way it's going to be. It's your choice. She runs off of this boy, and the mama comes weeping. Bishop, please, you talk to my daughter. I said, you know I love her, and I will talk to her. I said, but I don't think it's going to do any good. Why? I said, because you have taught her what the pastor says is not important. Oh, no. I promise you, I've never said that to them. I said, you don't have to say it. You taught it to them by your actions. I've stood in the pulpit, called your name, and rebuked you for being late. And the next service, you're going to do it again. What do you think your kids are thinking? They're going to say, what pastor says ain't important. I'll do it my way. That's what you're teaching your kids. Every time you go against Pastor Johnson, you're teaching them what he says is not important. And then that day that they start going crazy on you, and that's what they'll do, mark it down, write it down. And you say, Pastor Johnson, help me with my child. You taught them that it don't matter to the place. No matter what you say to them, it's not going to influence them because mom and daddy showed them you don't have to listen to him. We're going to do it our way. Setting your affections on the house of God also includes the man of God. I feel the Holy Ghost. My pastor ain't going to tell me where to go and what to do. We really don't want to, but every so often we get a nudge in the Holy Ghost just to warn you about that. I don't want to tell folks what to buy and where to go, and I get that nudge in the Holy Ghost and I'm a little worried about you. Don't be doing that. You may ought to listen to that. Sure enough, I talked to the girl. No interest. Now she's living with a boy. She has a little baby coming up. And that little girl that won all the memory verses, memory verses, the little girl that would come and sing, that little girl wrote me all the, I love my pastor, my missionary, and the sweetest notes. Now will not enter the church. But worse than that, here's a little baby that will never learn to go, one God, one God. That baby knows nothing. When all the other kids that was her age are now getting married and their kids are around the front worshiping, little kids running and clapping, her child is not there. You blame everything on her mama coming to church late? Good part of it, yes. Because it teaches them. Can I just tell you, you get your affection. I know this is not aisle running and flipping and but when you get your affections on the house of God, it's like you're continually, come here baby, when you get your affections on the house of God, you're pointing that baby towards the man of God, towards the church, everything. She tries to look to the left and you point her back to the church. She looks at you, point her back. No more, baby. This is what we love. This is what's going to save us. This is what we are. Can I just tell you something? This ought to be everything to you. Get your affections on the house of God. I would to God that parents would begin to make their way to the front. And when you pass your child, reach and get them by the hand and bring them to the front. Would you do that right now? Would somebody begin to make your way to this front and begin to put your affections on the house of God?